This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I was very excited for. Oh, wait, we weren't even recording?
Jesus, guy. Come on, man. All you do is just smile, just stare.
Hold on. Guy, are we starting now?
You can, sorry about that. Yeah, you can obviously I'll edit this in. So just react to Eli.
No, I want to leave this in that Guy did not record our reaction to Eli Braden's great song. And I had a fire quip lined up, but it's ruined.
It was a good song.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Todd. Well, let's not give it away. I mean, Jenny, I'm going to have you introduce our guest because I'm too big a fan to do it.
Yeah, you're really, I can see you getting emotional over it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't even know where to begin because this next guest is somebody that we have discussed numerous times on the podcast. Numerous times. He has a hilarious Netflix special, Spicy.
It's the greatest, Spicy Honey.
I love the name of it, Spicy Honey. And he is one of the biggest, like, A-list verified celebrities that we've ever had. It's Todd Barry, everyone.
Hey, everyone.
They're going crazy. Thank you, Todd, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome, thank you for making me an
A-lister. That's good.
Yeah, no,
verified,
you really
A-lister.
Are.
I always think of you when I hear anyone say verified. Like, that's...
And that's how you know some...
Go on.
No, so that's how you know someone's an A-lister when they constantly point out their own verified status.
It's one of my favorite recurring things that you do on Twitter. Where you'll be like in the United Club and go, I'm just, is there any other verified celebrity?
You don't...
First come of all, join me in this roped off area.
If you haven't seen Todd Barry, obviously you need to see him live or see all the specials, but follow him on Twitter right away. He is truly one of the, you have a tweet that I refer to a lot where somebody was responding. Somebody said, what's the weirdest place you've ever done stand-up? And comics out there, what's the weirdest place you've ever done stand-up? And you simply wrote in one line, Sydney Opera House. So the most braggy, fun. I love that.
It's like you take the humble brag thing and just make it a pure, like, aggressive brag unapologetically. Yeah. And I find that incredibly hilarious. And I also love your feuds that you have with your friends.
I got a couple of feuds going on with Brendan Walsh and Colin Quinn.
The Colin stuff is great. I mean,
yeah,
I worked with Colin back in 1989, you know, years ago, when he was coming, like, I guess off remote control. And I just always thought he was like the funniest, smartest guy. But your feuds with him are just hysterical.
Yeah, I enjoy them.
Yeah. Well, as a spectator, it is truly one of my favorite things every time I see Brendan or Colin's name and you're like, okay, oh, look, an empty, you know, place. This is what it looks like at a Brendan Walsh show. Okay, let me, just to get started, I have to ask, because you're one of my favorite stand-ups. I know you're one of Danny's favorite stand-ups. Yeah. How did you get started? When did you get started? Give me the backstory.
I started in Florida in 1987 during the comedy boom of the late 80s at a place called Coconuts Comedy Club. And it was a time when, I don't know if you know about the late 80s comedy boom, but it was comedy was in, like, everywhere, and people were just pumped to go see anything that was comedy. And they would go, you know, like, clubs that had complete unknowns would be packed. And then there'd be all these one-nighters at bars where someone would go into a bar and go, I could do a comedy night here if you give me $1,000 or something. And then they pass off $100 of it to the comics and pocket the rest. But anyway, so there was like open mic nights, and it wasn't like LA open mic nights where you perform for other comics. It was actually part of the headlining show, like at the beginning of the week or Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So I just, you know, I used to be a fan of comedy and the younger comics, and like the, you know, I knew about David Letterman before he was at any TV show. And so I was onto it, but I mean, a little after that, but I never wanted to be a comedian. And so after college, I don't know, I just went to open mic nights and I just decided, oh, I want to try that. And then I tried it, and here I am on the Doing It podcast.
No, it's really,
you've arrived.
Yeah. Yeah. So to people, you know, sometimes those first ideas you have about your career aren't your best ideas.
Like, yeah.
You went to, were you in school when you did it? Were you, I've heard your act, so I know you went to school in Florida. I love your.
Yeah. I went to University of Florida. No, I started about a year after graduating.
I think we're the same year age then. I graduated as well. I just look worse.
No, you look great. We both look fantastic.
Yeah. Thanks.
Me, I look like shit, but y'all look.
Yeah. Fair enough. No, I'm joking.
Well, who are your influences, like, when you got started? Like,
I mean, I liked a lot of the, you know, the biggies. I liked your George Carlins. I got to see him live. I saw Andy Kaufman. Wow. Wow. I think it was my 15th birthday. I saw Don Rickles.
Wow.
I saw Jay Leno before, I think, the Tonight Show, way before the Tonight Show. And one of the clubs I did was in West Palm Beach, where, it was a really good club, and like everyone came through there, you know, Seinfeld and people like that. But I always liked, even though I liked Andy Kaufman, even though my act has never been like Andy Kaufman, I like George Carlin. I like Steve Martin when I was younger. Yeah. But I also really liked the younger, like, Lettermans and people who they would always, like, on the Merv Griffin show, they'd be like, here's a hot young comic or something, or Carson.
Yeah.
So sort of the fringier comics I liked as well.
You have a very, like, you have a style that is very, you know, it's very, you really have your voice. Like, you really have this point of view. And how long were you doing comedy? Because I think, like, everybody who starts comedy is kind of starts off doing an impression of a comic for a little while before they find.
Yeah, yeah.
Where were you in your career when you found it? How did you know you had locked into that thing?
That's weird. I listened back to old clips of mine, and I'm sort of mortified at the way I talk, because that's, it's like, oh, that's not the way I talk. I mean, it's the way I talk when I've memorized a joke,
right.
And I kind of don't want to be that. I mean, so not to insult myself, but I don't think I ever noticed that I did a voice or had any sort of voice until someone, like, did an impression of me to my face. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And I'm more talking about your comic voice and your actual voice, like your point of view, like where you're like,
that voice.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think your voice is your voice.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I do have inflections that are, I'm trying to tone it down and be more natural, but I definitely earlier on, I had like a comic-y kind of like sort of, contrived, not contrived, but it just was sort of like a rhythm.
Yeah,
that was sort of like rainbow, oh, I'm a comic.
Suspenders or something.
Yeah, that kind of thing, like the voice equivalent of rainbow suspenders. But but you're talking about like my voice, my POV.
Yeah, your POV. I mean, I always like it's so embarrassing to quote people back their act, but like that whole bit you did on one of your albums with going, you were at the Washington Zoo. And you went to see, you were like, you wanted to see the pandas. And then, right. And but then you got distracted by the prairie dogs because they were so
right.
You can finish a bit, but then,
so, I don't really. I mean, I probably can because I forgot it.
But I can then for you. But it was like right. Basically, you get to the pandas, and you're like at the pandas, and you're like, I don't know, I kind of want to see those prairie dogs again. And then yeah. I realized that's how any audience must feel when I open for a comic. And to me, that's like so like it's that's the comic point of view I have that no humility. Greatest comic in the world stuff, which you know is funny because you are so funny, but it's just like it's so clearly coming from a different point of view. I don't know, it's very original.
No, I do like, I mean, I like jokes like that where it comes out of nowhere, like all of a sudden I make it about me.
Yeah.
I like when I make it about me.
You're good when you do that.
I'm a fan of making it about me, yeah.
Yeah, you're a big fan.
I actually remember, Todd, we did At Midnight together.
Oh, we did, that's right.
Yeah, and that was like one of the first kind of things I did on TV, so I was like super nervous, and then the whole time was trying not to laugh at everything that you said.
Oh, really?
I was trying to be real cool and like, you know, be funny and dry. And the whole time it was your birthday too. I remember that.
Oh, that's right. I did do it on my birthday.
And you were like, it'll be really messed up if I don't win this. It is my birthday. And then
and I did win it. I think I came in second or lost.
You actually lost. I won that one.
Oh, okay then.
I was very excited about that.
Is that why you brought that story up?
No, because I crashed and burned, and they probably never wanted me back. I was horrible on it.
But that was the very whole time, Barry-esque I just tried
not to laugh at Todd Barry.
That was like, very Barry-esque of you making that about you. And
I learned from the best. You know, what do you want?
Who was like in your class? Who were the people you came up with? Was it the tough crowd guys like that?
It's interesting. Two people who I came up with and were in Florida were Larry the Cable Guy and Carrot Top were on my circle of people.
Okay, so I see that. I'm kidding.
I mean, no, but they were just from Florida. But like Larry the Cable Guy, Dan Whitney, I think he drove me to one of my first paid gigs ever. He drove me to Clearwater from South Florida, which is like a 4-hour drive. I think I drove in his Camaro. He got me like a $50 guest spot at Ron Bennington's club in Clearwater. I mean, those guys are people I started out with. I mean, I didn't see Carrot Top a whole lot, and then he sort of disappeared and became huge.
Yeah.
But he was a nice guy, and we were both in Police Academy 5 as extras.
Really?
Yeah, there's a video. I actually posted, there's a video on my, I think it's on my YouTube channel, Todd Barry Videos, my neglected YouTube channel where I had someone kind of draw an arrow to him and an arrow to me. You just see this orange dot, you see this big bushy hair, and that's me. But we're just extras in this airport scene, Police Academy 5.
That's hilarious. And his Carrot Top is Scott.
Yeah, Scott Thompson.
Yeah. I opened for Nick Swartzen in Vegas one time, and I got done and I was like all, you know, jittery and everything. And all of a sudden there was somebody going, "Hey, I'm Scott, great job." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, Carrot Top."
He's a nice guy.
Super nice guy. Like I was just like, how do you call him Scott? He's Carrot Top.
Yeah, right. He probably
had a Christian name.
right. Yeah, it'd be weird if he was like, "Hi, I'm Carrot Top."
Yeah.
Or even Carrot.
Or Top. Mr. Top.
Please, my father was Carrot Top.
So how did you fare during the pandemic lockdown, everything? Did you do any virtual shows? How were you?
I did, yeah. I did a bunch of Zoom. I did some Zoom crowd work shows. I don't know if you're familiar. Yeah. Did you see my crowd work special by any chance?
Brilliant. I want to ask you a lot of questions about that.
Oh, I've not seen that. I want to watch
it. I'm just mad at Jenny for not seeing it, doing her research.
This is how I am with half of
thinking about more things to talk about myself. And
this is usually how I am with the other guest, Jenny Books. I just pretend to know what they did.
So it's I did a few, mainly I did these crowd work shows where I would just headline and they were fun and weird, but really exhausting. Like I just remember, you know, saying thank you, good night. And then you're just like, and you're like looking at your cat sitting on the desk or something. And just like, fuck, I don't know why it was more draining or it's also weird. This happens in normal shows too, where like you say thank you, good night, and then 20 minutes later, you're alone at a Chinese restaurant. shoveling some food in your face. But I did a handful of sets also. I was really reluctant to do actual material.
Right.
Because I just thought it's not the place for it. And then I got someone was wrote to me like, hey, do you want to do this guy's birthday party? Which it sounds awful, but it was also like it was sort of pocket money, but more money, pretty good Zoom money. Right. And I was just like, and I was like, what's the worst that can happen? You know, there's six people on a couch.
Right.
Like there's no real big repercussions if I bomb.
Right.
Right.
So
everyone has, where are they going? They got nothing else to do.
Right. And I did a few outdoor shows that were, some were good and some were not as good, but.
Did you do any rooftop shows? And
yeah, I did rooftop shows and it was just, yeah, those were weird. Cause you'd just be like, some guy would just use this rooftop of the building. Lives like, you're just putting on a show. Did you ask everyone if you could do this? Or just like, but some of them were really like well organized and they would decorate the place. And yeah, but it's definitely a depressing time to do comedy. Yeah.
When you did the Zoom shows, cause I did a few, did everyone like have their audio on where you could hear?
I think they did, yeah, because I wanted to hear some. And I also was doing crowd work, so I would just bounce around the gallery and point to someone. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's definitely would hear enough laughs to be like, all right, well, this is working, and you could see people smiling even if they weren't laughing. So
yeah,
I take smiles as well.
Oh yeah, it was. I mean, at least it was like something to do because I was happy to do them. But I'm sorry, there's a siren outside.
Yeah.
What got me is I did one and they were like, okay, we want everyone to please mute themselves so the comedian can hear herself. I'm like, what? So
yeah.
Oh, that's
no
perfect.
Feedback.
Yeah. Just dead silence for 30 minutes. Great. That'll make me feel good.
When you committed to doing sort of the crowd work tour, now you're obviously very good at crowd work and some people are not, but like, what was that high wire act like? I mean, I know you were going out to do no material. And you had done it. And I'm just curious, like, were you at a point in your career where you weren't that worried about it? Or were you like, God, I could potentially walk away here with nothing?
It's weird. I remember the first crowd work show I did was in Philadelphia. And I just remember having this feeling of like before showtime, I was like, oh, man, I don't have to prepare anything. Like, I was kind of excited. It's just like, yeah. I just have to steam a shirt in the shower and then I just walk over there. And but it's weird that I think I'm more nervous doing material than I am a crowd work show, and I'm not sure why, but I know the crowd work shows it's easier to do an hour. Like I've done an hour 45, and I mean, which is not, I wouldn't recommend that for anyone, but I don't know, there's something, I think it's because it's with a joke, you have the expectation like at this point they're gonna laugh, and if they don't, then there's a problem. Whereas with crowd work, you're like, I'm just talking. And I know I am fairly good at getting something funny out of a lot of things.
Yeah. And I would imagine also the pressure, so the limited stand-up experience I have, but the pressure of sort of like thinking like, oh, what was like forgetting a joke? Like that's all
taken
off the plate when you're just in that moment.
Right.
Being funny.
Did you ever get people that were like hostile or anything like that?
It's weird. Like I was worried that it would be rowdy. Like there's maybe a handful of rowdy shows, one or two or something. But for the most part, there was almost the opposite where they were kind of timid sometimes.
Yeah.
And you know, the way I do it is like, I'll bounce around, but if someone's clearly not into it, I just move on. Cause I'm not trying to ambush someone, but some people will sit right up front at a crowd work show. And then start talking, they're like, whoa, no, I'd rather.
You're right.
Like, well, you are. You are front row center, but
wait, I know I'm just here also a crowd work show. Come on, guys. It's crowd.
There's also times where people didn't know it was a crowd work show and I'd get a hate email from like, you didn't do one joke. It's like, that's the way the show is advertised that I wouldn't be doing one joke. Read the website.
What crowd work is before you start.
I think on Spicy Honey, you pointed out there's a guy who was sitting up in the front. What do you do? And he's like, I'm trying to be a stand-up comic. And like, you're like, the first rule is you sit in the back. You
know, right. Yeah, that's always sort of a sign of a new comic. It's like, they'll just the front row seats. Like, get in the back, man.
Yeah, that's good. I also like the way you did it from different it was a smart idea to do it at different locations. I really like that aspect. Blaine Kapach is a friend of mine, and it was delightful watching him show up on your because I hadn't seen that show, and then you guys driving up to San Francisco together.
Yeah, he's great. I just did a show with him at Dynasty Typewriter. I should have invited you, but I didn't.
He should have invited me too.
Yeah, you're right. He knows you better than I do.
Better than you next time. But yeah, he's one of the funniest people. He's also talking about a brilliant mind on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, he's hilarious. Yeah. Yeah, his tweets are he hits a lot of home runs.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did that epic the Rolling Stone top 500.
That was nuts.
That was nuts that anybody would write that much.
What's your favorite? Like, you have your home club, like in New York. Which do you always go to, like Comedy Cellar or?
I mean, the Comedy Cellar is where I do most of my shows. Tonight I'm going to be at the place called New York Comedy Club in the East Village. Friday I'm doing a headlining show at the Bell House, which I love, in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, yeah.
It's kind of a music venue, but they might do more comedy than they do music, but. It's a really great venue.
I hear a lot of comedy podcasts that do their special episodes, and they do it from the Bell House all the time.
Yeah, it's a good place. And I mean, that as far as New York clubs, that's kind of where I mainly hang out.
And how long are you, like, how much are you on the road each year?
It's been a lot. I mean, this year's now that I'm gone every weekend in February, and. I don't, you know, it's during peaks, it's been like 3 or 4 months. It might be more this year. I don't know. But it's kind of a part of it's like, ugh. And then there's part of me like, well, this is pretty cool that I get to do this. So forget I said, ugh. It's just pretty cool that I get to do this.
Really the only thing I can think of is that you just said, ugh.
That's our time, ugh. So
Scott doesn't like his voice. He doesn't like his job.
We're going to just ruminate on that. We're going to take a quick break for a commercial from one of our sponsors.
It's the best sponsor ever, too.
I have no idea what product or service that we'll be selling right now, but I do know.
It's something that we're going to use the shit out of.
We're going to use a lot. And we'll be right back. Stick with us. Hey, Doing It Nation. This is Danny Zucker coming at you solo for this ad. Because, you know, if you know anything about me, I'm a big sports guy, and Jenny isn't that into sports. And what's funny about that is it's the opposite. But here's the thing. I'm not into sports, but I have found that when you add a little wagering to these contests, suddenly I'm in. Had some fun bets on the old Super Bowl, you know, the Super Bowl match, and with Bet Online, our sponsor. And I can swear to what a great experience that was. Anyway, BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, NHL, and more initials of sports, I presume. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game friends at BetOnline. And honestly, are there any better friends than game friends? Not that I found. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. Just try and imagine it. BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. So, Doing It Nation, do this for me and for Jenny in absentia. Head on over to this website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. That's CLNS50 to get them rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. And we're back. Holy shit. I can't wait to buy or hire or apply or gamble. To my body.
Yeah. We're going to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the wiener pills. Are we doing wiener pills?
I don't know if we're doing wiener pills, but I'm definitely going to use them to build a web page or gamble.
I can't believe we don't have more sponsorships.
We really can't. We really so respect. Whatever happened to the wiener pills?
I don't know. Maybe they didn't work.
Maybe I'm not the best advertisement for like.
Maybe because the promo code was Danny.
Promo code. Promo code for Blue Chew. I'm giving them a free thing. At one point was my name. It's like you hear that, Dad? You said I'd never make it.
I couldn't figure out. I'm like, our podcast is called Doing It. why wouldn't you use that? That's just perfect for winter pills.
So I just really, what was the tough crowd experience like when you did that? I recently went down a rabbit hole with those.
I did it like 7 times, if I recall. It was always really challenging for me because I'm a guy who could, like, if you give me room, I could just spike, you know, chime in. But those guys were a lot of, you know, like being on there with like Patrice O'Neill, rest in peace, hilarious dude. I mean, he just a bulldozer. So it's kind of hard to be like, you just feel a little bit almost like the kid getting picked on in high school a little bit. I mean, it was fun. I got some laps, but there was times where like I really had to assert myself. And I think Colin would sort of make sure I got something in, but.
He was a pretty good traffic cop. I mean, there's that famous episode of him and of Geraldo.
Yeah, and
Dennis Leary.
I love that. He just put him in such check.
It was not a fine moment, but I was like, because I feel like I'd be like you a little bit in that scenario. I'd be like, "Are you okay? Let these louder guys fight it out here."
Yeah.
I don't do good like trying to fight. You know, like fighting for your chance to speak. Particular show, I'm like, God, the strong personalities. It would be very intimidating, I would think.
I also have that problem at bars. Like if there's a line, it's just like, oh God, here we go. Really, they're never going to get to me.
When you're trying to like make that eye contact, it's like,
yeah, and you don't want to be like the guy who's like waving someone over like, come, you are my servant. But
hopefully it's very much like, frankly, have you ever worked in a comedy writing room, Todd? Have you ever like
I wrote for Sarah Silverman show for a while, and I've wrote on the VMAs a few times, like 6-7 times, but I haven't done a sitcom.
Yeah, but I would imagine even those rooms, it's still like there's still that comedy writer dynamic of like when are you gonna get your pitch out, and it reminded me a lot of Tough Crowd, especially in some of the more combative rooms I've been in, like when I, you know, or where there were like way too many writers, like
you worked on Roseanne. Is
that when I worked on Roseanne, and it was like it was the Hunger Games to get through. She had high every day. Roseanne would bring like another 5 or 10 writers that she met in a bar.
This is Buddy. He's an executive producer now. He's your boss.
But that is a tricky thing. And so that's, and you were not in that like sort of roast group, were you? Did you do any of those?
Yeah, I mean, I did the Chevy Chase roast.
That's the one. Yeah, that was.
I don't know if you saw that clip, but.
I actually didn't. The clip I remember from that one, I have to see that one. I might have seen it.
I posted the entire unedited version on YouTube, but it's on if you search on Twitter, you could probably find it.
Well, let's get a link to that because I'm a completist for you, and so to have this particular thing,
yeah,
I do remember that's where I first realized how brilliant Colbert was with that.
Yeah, yeah, that was brutal. I've done roast battle a few times, and there's a clip I posted of me roasting. Well, I was roasting Patrice O'Neill at a comedy club in New York called the Boston Comedy Club, oddly, but. I slammed Colin a good few times in that also. So you might want to look for that clip as well.
Guy, you'll post both of those, please. I want to see both of those.
And how about like acting things? Because I've definitely seen you in things here and there.
Yeah, I've done a handful of things. I was in the Wrestler. I don't know if I've ever mentioned that. I was in the Wrestler.
Really? I haven't heard that.
Yeah.
I was in, I was on Flight of the Conchords.
That's where I remember you from.
Yeah.
I did an episode of Spin City that I don't even know how I can find a copy of it. But
do you know what I loved you did? Wish You Were So Good. And it's like, still one of, it's just so great. It's a comic snapshot was on Dr. Katz.
Oh, yeah. I love that show.
You working in the video store and your stuff with John Benjamin is just like, it was so great. It was just so natural and fun.
Yeah, that was a real treat because they would write it out. They would give you like a script and you kind of hit the beats and then they're like, go do whatever you want to do. And we were both had good chemistry as far as riffing with each other and stuff like that. But
Yeah, it's really.
I just did Bob's Burgers yesterday. I did an episode of Bob's Burgers.
Oh, really?
I love Bob's Burgers.
It's so good. And you're doing a movie too, right?
Yeah. I know. I'm not in the movie. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. Yeah. Who'd they go with?
You're also great on Louie, which I know is.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
Problematic, I guess, to say. I don't know. I thought it was funny.
No, yeah. He'd still be good on Louie.
Yeah.
You're allowed. I was really good on Hitler's Variety Hour. I wouldn't want that to take away from my juggling.
I was really great on The Cosby Show.
Oh, my God. I think we figured out the template for this joke.
It's your turn. So we're at that point of our show now. We're kind of talking about like stuff that we've been watching and like. And so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The thing that when people ask me for a recommendation, the one that I've probably recommended the most in the past couple of years is a show called Line of Duty. Do you know that?
No.
Oh, my God.
I'm writing it down. Yeah. What is it? Tell me.
It's a British detective show about a unit of the police that investigates dirty cops.
Oh, that sounds great.
You just gave Danny a boner.
Yeah, British, I love boner. Those things.
Yeah, it's on first five seasons are on Amazon Prime, and I think the sixth season is on like BritBox, but it might be on Amazon Prime too. But it's really well written, and there's like interrogation scenes where you're like, I had to, you know, had panic attacks during them. They were so intense, but it's just super smart, well written. Yeah,
That's where Patriot is, which is one of my favorites. Have you seen that one, Todd?
No.
I just did you a huge favor. You'll love it.
Really? Patriot?
Yeah, Patriot. They did two seasons. And it's like if the Coen brothers did Homeland, basically. It's sort of like has a very twisted guy who's like does undercover. He has PTSD. His father puts him in all these situations, and he's also a folk singer, and he'll occasionally have a breakdown and busk, and he sings, and he'll sing about his crimes on street corners, and they have to
sing. Wow.
And it's just really smart and all about these characters. I mean, it's very, very character driven
okay.
Yeah, you'll love that. Well, that's a good recommendation. Anything else you're watching?
Shit. During the pandemic, I actually kept a diary, not a diary, but a list. But I was watching like Finnish, you know, crime shows and like Dutch, Belgian.
They have the best crime shows.
What was the one you were talking about?
There's one in, I think it was a Belgian show called the 12, I think, that was about a jury that was really good.
Oh.
Wow. I didn't hear many people talking about it. There was one called Marcella also.
My ex was telling me about that one. She really liked that one.
Yeah, that's really kind of a bananas kind of detective. Oh, Bosch. I love Bosch.
Oh, yeah. Bosch is great. Bosch is great.
What else? I watched all of, what's the Better Call Saul?
It's the greatest.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
One of my daughters is like, she had missed, Breaking Bad, and so we've just been going through Break because she really wants to watch Better Call Saul, so we've been watching Breaking Bad all the way through again, and it's just to watch it again. It's like it's still so singular, and Better Call Saul has been, it's just been amazing.
Well, what have you been watching, Daniel?
What have I been watching that I haven't mentioned on the show? Oh, you know what is shockingly good or funny, at least I found, is, and it's not, I'm not like a big superhero guy, but Peacemaker.
That was going to be one of my picks.
Peacemaker. Too. John Cena is like, he's the real deal. That guy is funny.
He's really funny. And I love that.
He is funny.
He was doing the talk show circuit in costume. Like every every place he stopped by, he was wearing the Peacemaker costume.
He does this thing because it's like everybody's making comparisons to The Rock and to him, and I think The Rock is great at what he does. But John Cena, like, he really knows how to play vulnerable and insecure, and to be that big and be insecure. Like, if I were that big, I mean, I would never be insecure. And and he knows. It's a really funny thing, and it's like. Yeah, James Gunn really did a really good job with it. That's the thing I've been watching. I just watched the first two episodes of Pam and Tommy on Hulu. I think they released three or four, and then it's going to be on again. I have mixed feelings about them because I don't want to give too much away. I mean, there's some fun stuff about it. It weirdly seems to do the thing, like, it sort of is exploited. Like, they're making a point about the exploitation, but it's also in and of itself somewhat exploitative, but it's also really a funny romp. Everybody's really good. Like, Seth Rogen's great in it. Who's the guy from Parks and Rec we love? Who's married to Megan Mullally.
What's his face?
Can't I think of his name?
Jesus, Ron.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I was pinned for a part on that show, and then
Offerman,
because I wasn't in LA, so I guess it didn't happen due to COVID.
There's a lot of Tommy Lee's penis in it.
That was the role that I was playing, his penis.
No joke, Jason Mantzoukas beat you out to it.
Oh really? Oh, he does the voice of it, right?
He's the voice of his penis.
His penis is a voice in this.
One episode of like his TikToks, it happened.
As well, it should. I've seen that porno. Not surprising that it talks.
What about you, Jenny?
I watched all the episodes of, and I had to pull this up on my phone, The Woman in the House Across the Street from the Girl in the Window, the Kristen Bell.
Is that, I love the title.
It's really funny, and it's really different because it's like, it sounds like it'll just be absurd the whole way through, but yeah. It's not. Like, there's a real storyline, but then they'll do something really absurd just to throw you off, and then it goes right. I watched the first episode, I'm like, oh, okay, the next one, and then I plowed through the whole thing.
Wow.
And Kristen Bell's great in it, too.
Wow, that's good. Anything else?
And Peacemaker. That was my other pick.
Those are pretty good. Well, we're at that. We're coming to the end, Todd. I got to thank you for doing
shit.
It. Yeah. Anything you want to promote? I mean,
I'll have a lot of tour dates on my 2022 stadium tour.
Oh my God!
If you go to toddbarry.com and click on shows, you'll see all the dates. You can scroll through them.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, there's a special scroll bar that I installed that helps you scroll through them.
And this is www.toddbarry.
Yeah, yeah, okay, Todd Barry, cool. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
.com or .org.
Trying to think if there's anything else. That's pretty much all I got going on right now.
I do love your cats. I'm a cat person myself. So.
Oh, do you have a cat?
I did. He died.
Sorry.
Thanks for bringing it up.
Danny
I brought it up. Wait a minute. Yeah. No. I mean, I like all animals. I don't like. I always think it's crazy when people like, oh, I like cats. So you can like all.
Yeah.
But
right.
I did have a pretty great cat who.
Yeah, Louie.
R.I.P.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Too soon. But
let me plug. I got to plug something for Leanne Morgan, who was one of our guests recently. Yeah. Has asked me to do open for her in Cedar Rapids in Wichita, February 25th and 26th. So go to her website, get tickets.
Wow, I will. Yeah. I'll go to her website. When are you in Wichita?
February 26th.
Maybe fine. I've never been to Wichita. Maybe I'll go.
Wichita has a nice airport.
It does?
Yeah. I think it's an aviation town. So it's in some level, it's an aviation town.
It is because I got my pilot's license, and there's a big flight conference in Wichita too. There's a big like fly-in.
Oh, really?
Festival there.
Is that Eisenhower Airport, or am I making that up?
You might be making that up.
You're making that up big time.
Yeah, but
I'll prove both of you wrong when I'm there. You'll see. So I've got that. Danny, what about you?
I have nothing to promote. I don't. I'm working on animated shows not premiering for another year. So
Housebroken.
Housebroken.
Right? You can see the first season on Hulu.
And then I've got some amazing pilots that are absolutely going to get on the air because that's what happens.
And then, we have a little thing too that we might.
And we have a thing, yes.
Yeah.
That will be
all right.
Well, that will set the world on fire once.
It will.
I imagine it will, right?
It will. Brace yourselves, guys. We're about to change the game.
Yeah.
But thank you, Todd. This has been
thanks for having me.
It's been really
really appreciate it. Very, very fun.
When will this air?
Guy,
tell us. And this is
I'm going to try to edit this for this evening, actually.
Oh, my God. So, guys, what you're about to hear, this is it's now. Well, thanks for doing it, Nation. And bye.